This is an oral history interview with Dan Garrett, conducted by Layla Davis, on April the 4th, 1995, at 915 McPherson Street, Oxford, Alabama, 36203, their residence. The subject of this interview is the Vietnam War. Start by telling me your full name, age, date, and place of birth.
Dan Garrett, age 46, date of birth, January 28th, 1949. Place of birth, Anniston, Alabama.
Tell me a little bit about your upbringing. Start with your parents and then continue on with yourself.
I was born in Anniston, Alabama. My mother and father were from Clay County, Alabama, from Delta. My father worked for 32 years as a core maker at Lee Brothers Brass Foundry in Anniston. And I was an only child, pretty much raised as a happy child in Oxford. And I grew up in Oxford with a very happy childhood.
What type of education did you pursue and achieve, and what is your present occupation?
I graduated from Oxford High School. I went for a while to Georgia State University, but I didn't graduate. Presently, I am the Veterans Employment Representative for the Alabama Department of Industrial Relations, the State Employment Service. I'm down in Sylacauga, Alabama.
What was your life like just before you left for the war? Like your hometown and in the world, things like that?
Well, the war was going on before I left for the war, of course. It had been going on really since 1965. Although here it wasn't really noticed that much, it seems. It was a very happy place growing up. Things in high school were very happy. Of course, back then everything was focused on I guess pretty much like kids now, dating, going to high school. Of course, I think we cared a lot more about going to high school and what we were going to become and our future and this kind of thing. Of course, Alabama was as football crazy back then with Coach Bryant as it is now with Coach Stallings, I guess. But it was there were some bad things going on in Alabama at the time. It wasn't a perfect place to grow up, but there was very little crime. Murder back then was the exception rather than the rule as it is now. It was a very much more of a peaceful place to grow up and exist than I would say it is now.
How did you end up joining the military and eventually serving time in Vietnam? What was your family's reaction to this and your friends also?
When I graduated from high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. And I felt like the military might be a good place to to start, and I felt like after a lot of self-analysis, I felt like I needed a lot of discipline in my life, something that I felt like was missing for some reason. And so I volunteered for the Marine Corps, which my father had been in the Army in World War II. He was a World War II veteran. Volunteering for the Marine Corps and having two uncles who were retired Navy, it went over as somewhat of a shock. There was only one other relative in the family that had ever joined the Marines, and it was somewhat of a shock. And knowing that there was a war going on, it caused a considerable amount of concern by my mother and father, and of course my other relatives. They were quite concerned that I was going to wind up in Vietnam. To be totally honest with you, something I never told my mother and father, I knew I was going to Vietnam when I talked with a recruiter, because he told me that there was a 90% chance that I would wind up in Vietnam. For some reason, that didn't bother me at the time. It probably should have.
Was there any specific reason why you didn't tell your parents that right away? You just didn't want to?
I didn't want them to worry unnecessarily. I figured I would. They would have enough time to worry when I went over there. And it, my mother was one of these kind of people that sometimes worried unnecessarily about things. I don't know, I just felt like everything in due time, I suppose.
How did your friends react to it? Did you have a lot of friends that joined up too?
There were one or two people here in Oxford that did join the Marine Corps and did go to Vietnam. One guy that graduated from Oxford High School was ahead of me. I ran into him at when we were stationed in Camp Pendleton in California, and we ran around together some in California. I ran into him once when I was in Nam, but the basic reaction of my friends was somewhat shock and dismay. I was not the type of person in high school that would have wound up joining the United States Marine Corps, at least not as far as they were concerned. And It was somewhat of a shock to them that I would do such a thing, especially those that did not wind up going into military at all.
Did you go through basic training, and can you just elaborate a little on what it was like if you did?
I don't know what Parris Island's like now. Parris Island back then was an extreme. It was an extreme. That would be the best way to describe it. Parris Island is. It is a way the Marine Corps has of tearing you down mentally and physically and putting you back together the way that they want you. It's designed for one major purpose, to either make you or break you. If it breaks you, they don't want you. It's designed to put a man under a tremendous amount of pressure, and a woman too, for women Marines. It puts the individual under a tremendous amount of pressure. It also develops a high level of razor edge training skills, or at least the beginning of that. And instills a lot of pride and discipline, especially discipline. The Marine Corps is not like anything else, regardless of what the Army says about their units and what have you. Their Army boot camp is not like Parris Island. There is no military branch in this country like Parris Island. It is different, and it's designed to be different. And when you come out of Parris Island, you feel like you can walk on water, which maybe is good, maybe is bad. I really don't know, but. It made a big difference in my life. I think it would do a lot of young people good to go back to 2 years of required military service these days because of what it does do to the individual.
What was a typical day like in basic training? Like, how did it start, and what kind of activities did you take part in? And
to elaborate on a day at Parris Island would be to call one's attention to the movie Full Metal Jacket, or at least the first part of that movie, which is extremely accurate. The first day at Parris Island, the drill instructor walks into the squad bay. A squad bay is made up of approximately 80 recruits. He took a trash can and threw it down the middle of the squad bay, and then took a trash can lid with a broom handle and started beating on it, screaming at the top of his lungs, and a few other things that we won't get into. You're screamed at, you're called probably the lowest thing on the face of the earth. This may sound extreme, and it is, but it's their way of tearing you down mentally and physically. You start out in boot camp thinking that you are the lowest form of life on the face of the earth. When you leave boot camp, you feel like you could probably whip anything that walks on water or otherwise. A typical day would start at 4:30 in the morning. You would get up and run approximately 3 miles before you ate breakfast or chow, if you will. From there, you went to the mess hall. You ate breakfast, always standing at attention. You did exactly what the drill instructor told you to do. You did not sit down to eat until told to do so. You did not get up from the table until told to do so. You double-timed, in other words, you ran anywhere. Marines don't walk anywhere except when marching, or drilling, if you will. The morning hours were spent drilling with rifles, marching in formation, this type of thing. We had physical training twice a day. Also, we had an afternoon run of 3 miles. And usually the day didn't end until somewhere around 8 o'clock at night. You were always given time at night to write letters home. That was encouraged. There were a number of things. Physical training was definitely encouraged almost to the extreme. At times you were so sore that you couldn't move, but you felt that leaving you after a while. When I left Parris Island, I was definitely in the best physical condition and probably mental condition of my life.
What was your first reaction when they told you that you were really going to war? What were the thoughts, your actual thoughts on the trip going over there, and what year was this?
Well, I went in the Marine Corps in 1967, same year I graduated from high school. I was all reasonably sure that I was going to wind up going to Nam. My first reaction was, it didn't really surprise me that much. Of course, I was trying to figure out which of the two Marine divisions I would wind up in, either the 1st Marine Division or 3rd Marine Division, and what areas I would be in. That was, at that point, nothing but conjecture. I had no way of knowing for sure exactly where I would wind up or what area of Nam I would be in or what have you. Thoughts? I was somewhat somewhat nervous, and yet I had been trained to do the job, and I felt confident that that the job would be done. I knew that I had to be careful, but the actual trip over there took a long time. We boarded an airplane in California and flew to Okinawa, and from Okinawa, well, let me back up here. We flew from California to Hawaii. I spent 45 minutes in Hawaii at 2 o'clock in the morning. Only time I ever saw Honolulu in my life. So I got to see a few palm trees. From there, we flew to Okinawa. Spent a short period of time in Okinawa. We were there on Okinawa for about 4 or 5 days, actually. On the island of Okinawa, you were given special shots. You were given special uniforms. At that time, it was solid green jungle fatigues and jungle boots. We packed up our regular dress uniforms and this kind of thing, left them in boxes to be packed away in Okinawa, which we would get those back when we returned, if we returned. And after that, after we got our proper shots and this type of thing, we boarded a flight from Okinawa and flew to Nam, and landed in Da Nang.
Where was your first station, and what was it like in the area that you were in?
The rear area was at Quang Tri, although they did not waste any time getting us out to the field. I was a recon marine, and we wound up at a place called the Rock Pile, which was on top of a mountain, aptly named Solid Rock. At that particular moment in time, we spent about 2 weeks at the Rock Pile. We took a rocket attack from the North Vietnamese about every other day. It had been pretty much figured out. This was more of a harassment thing than anything else. Any of the new people coming in, they figured they would be stupid enough to be out walking around at a certain time of day, so they'd throw a few rockets in, hoping to either wound or kill somebody. But we had trench lines. You went everywhere at the Rock Pile, you went in a trench. Trenches were dug at 45-degree angles. And we were thoroughly briefed by our senior NCOs and what have you at what times to be out, what times not to be out, what times you went to chow, what times you did not go to chow. And we were told what incoming rockets sounded like. And the first experience with that was a little bit unnerving, but you quickly became accustomed to it. Rock Pile was a pretty unique place. There was a road that ran through the middle of it. One side was Marine Corps. The other side was a big Army artillery battery. They had 175-millimeter howitzers, which at the time was the largest artillery artillery piece in the world. When those things went off, when the Army fired those artillery pieces, your tents literally would, from the recoil of the weapon, would sway back and forth like a 50-mile-an-hour wind. It hit your tent. The top of the tent would just vibrate. You had to learn to sleep to that, and you finally became used to it, but it was an interesting time up there at the Rock Pile.
Did you find that your basic training prepared you for what you started off going through in the war? I mean, the trenches and that kind of thing. Did the basic training help to really prepare you for that, what you experienced?
Basic training did, maybe from the discipline standpoint. From the standpoint of qualifying you with a rifle, I shot expert with an M14. That probably prepared me more than anything. Of course, we went through several different types of training before we got to Nam outside of basic training. I had gone through infantry training regiment at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, which was infantry tactics and what have you. I went to recon school at Camp Pendleton. I'd also gone through amphibious warfare school at Dam Neck, Virginia, which was some training done for recon people by Navy SEALs. So we had had jungle warfare training and this type of thing, so I had had quite a bit of preparedness for coming into Nam, I guess you might say, but the reality of actually being there is very difficult to prepare for that. It's not quite the same thing. You can train somebody all day long, but putting an individual into a realistic combat situation is It's a total situation. The training takes over. Fortunately, the training takes over, and you kind of guide you from there. But it's a reality, and what is a training type mode is you can duplicate it only to a certain point. Explosions and training and this kind of thing are rigged, but there's always, when you're in a combat situation, your mind is in a total different state than it would be in a training mode, because in a training mode, something in the back of your mind always tells you, well, nothing's really going to happen. Your mind totally takes over, and you realize that, yes, something can happen. So you can duplicate it only up to a certain point. It's very difficult to duplicate an actual combat situation unless you put people out there with AK-47s coming at you with real ammo and this kind of thing, and it's really life or death. It's just not quite the same thing. I don't know that that can be totally duplicated in a training situation.